So we pray, Heavenly Father, we know that the same Jesus who appeared unto Paul in a pillar of fire, that same one came to Brother Branham, that same one is here, even Jehovah Elohim himself. And we appreciate that you are here, not only a part of you in each one of us who believe we're filled with the Holy Spirit, but also the great baptizer, the great Father, the great author and finisher of our faith, is here to lead us into the millennium. We pray, Lord, we may truly respect that and become more and more sincere, more and more humble in our understanding, Lord, more and more childlike, freer and happier, Lord, than ever before, that we can walk with the King now and we'll walk with him eternally. May this sink into our hearts, Lord, and become part of us, reflect in our very lives, even as the prophet was a reflector. We should also be a reflector, but not simply a reflector, but also a retainer, that retained light may shine forth manifest in human flesh. We give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now we're going to start this morning on things that are to be. And this message Brother Branham preached in Rialto, California, December the 5th, 1965. And it followed his sermon, The Conditions of the Rapture, later on called The Rapture, which was preached in Yuma, Arizona, December 4th of the same year. Now, in Yuma, Arizona, which is on the border of Arizona and California, but actually in Arizona, Brother Branham preached the actual substance of his entire ministry, preaching ministry, teaching ministry, plus the capstone revelation of what the rapture itself really is all about. Now, he never did explain that until December 4th, 1965 in Yuma, Arizona. And when he did, it became the epitomization of his entire ministry, explained every single thing he had ever said. Now, as he enters California and preaches in three places that are near Los Angeles, which has already been condemned like unto Capernaum, he actually preaches a sermon following the rapture that falls in the mold of what he said after the seven seals, which basically was to live a good Christian life. You don't have to ask a lot of questions, just believe, do your best, walk on with the Lord, or as Paul said, if you live in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit, which if we have a true understanding of the seven seals, the seven thunders, and those mysteries which were brought to us, brother, sister, we are living in the Spirit. But now to walk in the Spirit is to go beyond your passive faith into your active and do those things which well become of Christians. Now you'll notice in this sermon as we study it, he does not prophesy evil that is to follow, because evil has been prophesied already and the whole area is to be devastated. And if you look that up in Genesis, the fall of Sodom and Gomorrah, the cities round about of the plains are all afire. So this will happen there too, as Brother Branham said, great fires will fall and have to follow when California begins to break away the gas mains, not only containing the natural gas, perhaps some propane, but also liquid formulas, chemicals and all, which are in those vast conduits. It's going to be devastated. Thus, this sermon titled, Things That Are to Be, does not go beyond the choosing of a bride, where he gave the prophecy of the conditions and the falling, that spoke of a part of California, particularly L.A., going under the sea. So this sermon is not prophecy in the sense that it will map out the future as pertaining to them. It's already been mapped out. But rather, the title of this message is actually saying, now listen closely, things that are to be, things that are now, have been, will be, don't think they won't. So don't think what you think as to your creeds and your dogmas, your solicitations toward God, your understanding. However much you think Christ is your advocate, however much you think you have pertained through the blood, things that are reality and true brought forth will be and nothing else will. Now, you're going to find that in this sermon, because I think already from the title you will feel this is a great message of prophecy. It actually is, but it isn't. Things that are will be. That is the irrevocable fulfillment of God's word as has been vindicated. You will see this as Brother Branham takes us all the way back to our origin, speaks of foreknowledge, election, and predestination, emphasizes it by way of creation, and illustrates it in life, that those things spoken by God, and especially those now revealed in this hour, are, which means being, are being, living, nothing outside the message come to life, and will be completely fulfilled and perfectly manifested as to their truth and reliability in their season. You may have to wait a little longer, but you'll find it is true. Now remember, the majority of local people will not be believers. There will be a large number there who believe in him, but who believe in him in the deity way. Believe in him as a prophet and a man with the gift that perhaps they stick around long enough, they'll really get something. But to really believe, there would be very few there. There'll be outsiders. They will give credit to Brother Branham as a prophet, but refuse the word exactly as did Israel. They will be Pentecostal babies that can't take the teaching or doctrine. So he will speak to babies in Rialto, one of three final messages. The last message being in Convena, where I'm sure it was there, they laughed him to scorn. So you can see that this series, we may not take the rest, I don't know. We did take the rapture. But whether we take others is to be seen. But you will see that this is like Christ's own ministry, the winding down. The laughing, the scorn, the crucifixion. So with these thoughts in mind, and I think you must retain what I have said in order to really appreciate this message, and we're going to take our time with it. We may not get beyond just a couple paragraphs. To begin with, Brother Branham says on page 3, paragraph 8, now before we open the Bible, let us understand that anybody that's got physical strength can open it in this physical manner. But it takes the Holy Spirit to open the Word for us by opening our understanding and revealing the Scripture. That's what really opening the Bible is, by the Holy Spirit, because anybody can flip the pages. The tragic thing is, many people who know they can flip the pages and they have a pretty good understanding that they can quote you all the books of the Bible and a lot of pertinent facts from those various books, and have read a certain amount of theology and seem to have put a few things together, they still don't realize they're simply opening the book in a physical manner. They don't realize that it takes an absolute true revelation that they can depend upon. Such revelation, therefore, that can be depended upon, cannot be a revelation that comes by people sitting by themselves or together, whereby they decide what could be the most reasonable understanding. Now, let me tell you flat, if you took a bunch of people like me, and we stood around the engine of a car, and we gave you our most reasonable understanding of what was wrong and what to do, let me tell you the best thing to do. Please just buy a stick of dynamite, light it, and run like mad, because you're better off. Because you'll have more trouble with your engine than you bargained on, or perhaps the experts can even begin to fix. And this is the truth. And you will say that, Brother Dale, I believe the majority of people would really agree with that statement Brother Branham made. Anybody can open the Bible like this physically. But it takes God Himself to really tell us what it really means. Now then, let's go a little step further. Then if it really takes God to tell it, then you admit. You boast in yourself. I'm not talking you folk. This is all hypothetical. Or anybody in particular. Then you boast that you are baptized with the Holy Ghost. Because He is the teacher. He's the one that Jesus said in Acts 14, when the Comforter's come, He will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever said unto you. Now let's face it, that is not a statement given to any one individual. No way, shape, and form. What is given to the individual is a part of it which will make you, when the Word does come, whether it is by script or revelation as it was by Paul, you with that modicum of the Holy Spirit being your teacher, you'll be able to understand it. That's why David said, commune with thyself upon your bed. That's why I said the other day, as Brother Branham quoted, and he said, haven't you ever talked to the Holy Spirit within you? The Holy Spirit within you is the one who can teach you, providing you have Him. But let me tell you this flat. If you don't have a teachable spirit, don't tell me the Holy Ghost is there and going to teach you anything. This again would be an oxymoron of the highest degree if I could invent a word to show you that you have the Holy Ghost and don't have the Holy Ghost at the same time. There's no way. See, that's what those that are anointed are all about and have a false word and can do mighty works and wonders. They don't have an understanding of Scripture at all. So out of the mouth of Balaam came an actual prophecy, a prophecy which was actually included in this word here and is still coming to pass, and yet never had one thing to do with the first five books of the Moses. Was contrary to it. That man and his people were contrary to it. Yet they could take that very word and prophesy. And they're still coming to pass. And how many people can say they're truly full of the Holy Ghost and have genuine gifts? A very minimal number. So Brother Branham says, now before we open the Bible, let us understand that anybody who's got physical strength can open it just like I'm doing right now, opening with my fingers. But it takes the Holy Spirit Himself to open the Word to us and for us by opening our understanding. There again, preparation, doing something for the very thing that's there to receive, and reveal the Scriptures to us. I believe in the Bible because I believe that it's God's Word, period. And I believe that the peoples of the earth will be judged by this Word. Now that may seem strange because there are many people who differ from this idea. For example, now you'll notice I'm throwing a few words in here to make it run very smoothly, but nothing is being changed. I'm not adding or taking, as you'll find Brother Branham says the same thing when he talks to you about illustrations. For example, I was talking to a very loyal friend of mine not long ago who's a Catholic, and Brother Branham had many good Catholic friends, and I met at least one or two of them. And he said, God will judge the world by the Catholic Church. Now, that's what that man said. Now, Brother Branham says, if that's so, which Catholic Church? Because there are different Catholic Churches. There's a Greek Orthodox to begin with. They believe in marriage, the priests and everything else, and they have pretty well the same idea. They got a metropolitan who's the last court of appeal and so on like that. And they're an offshooting of the Roman Catholic Church empire. They certainly are, because there was a left leg and a right leg. And so you got the Eastern, you got the Western. And you got Greek Orthodox, you got the Roman Orthodox. And you got others in between. Chaldean Church, I guess they are, in different ones. So Brother Branham says, all right, let's just take your word. Now I want to ask you, my Catholic friend, which churches are going to be?
Well, now you know he's going to say, my church. Well, certainly. If he didn't say that, it would show he wasn't too sure of his church. Now, if he'd say, well, now, I believe it's our church, but maybe way back in history a mistake was made, and somebody else is rectifying it, and it could be judged by their church yet because they're Catholic, and we are the ones, they are our offspring, therefore it will come back to us, we'll be straightened out, and we'll do the judging. Now, that's a prominent thought, I believe, that's in the Protestants. Why didn't the Pentecostals say, especially the wonders, well, bless God, if William Branham was that prophet, he'd have come to us. Now, they said that. Absolutely. And the Pentecostals would say the same thing. Brother Branham would have had to have been born in one of those organizations which would be flexible to what his message and ministry was. They'd first of all have to accept vindication, and they'd have to accept some of the things that he said. Well, you know, right off the bat, the independent free will Baptist, I think he was a free will Baptist, a missionary Baptist. You know, right there, Dr. Davis couldn't take it. It got to the place was so bad that Brother Branham thought that Dr. Davis may even blaspheme. He went in the cave and began to pray for the man. See, what Catholic church? See, if he judges it by the Methodist, then what about the Baptist? Well, why did Brother Branham, he could have continued and say, if he's going to judge by the Methodist, what Methodist? You had all kinds of Methodists, free Methodists and not so free Methodists and totally bound and ignorant Methodists and those that are 100% off the word, they don't even believe in the virgin birth. And if you know anything about them, most of you folk don't know a thing about them because you haven't read about them. But if you want to know one thing, Brother Branham was very, very sweet when he just criticized them for having left the word and gone into prohibition. They didn't only leave the word, but they went into gross immorality as no other church I know of has done. You haven't read the books, have you? I should have saved mine. I threw them away. You talk about lurid. They went so far as to say, don't ever say anything against Joe Stalin. Well, he's just like one of your uncles. He's a sweet man. Uncle Joe. That's Methodism. They'll deny it. We have the records. What Methodist church? Or the Baptist? My Lord, there's Heinz Pickle Factory, can't duplicate them. How many Baptists should beat on any bush? And there's a Baptist there or an independent church. What Baptist church? Well, I knew a Baptist church years ago I went to for a little while. They had a little seminary, so I took about 3 or 4 weeks there till they were ready to kick me out, and I walked out. They were baptizing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They said, well, how can you do that? Well, they said the apostles did it, and they didn't make mistakes. So they still had a Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, but they baptized correctly. Well, you say, well, that church there might be, oh, no, 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 no. They were all messed up with the 10 toes and everything else. Ay, 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 they're a million miles away from the truth. Anyway, Brother Branham says, and if he judges by it, the other one's lost. Now, if he judged by the Methodists, the Baptists lost, the Catholics lost, everybody lost but a Baptist, so on, so on, so on. Take them all in turn. He said, there's too much confusion there, or there's too much confusion in that. Who needs it? We have to go to the Bible to find our true statement. Now, he said, our true statement. Who's going to stand up and say, no, we're going to tell you how it's going to be done. We're going to tell you. And he tells us. And the Bible says that God will judge the world by Christ Jesus, and he is the Word. First, St. John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Now, Brother Branham threw that last part in there, but it doesn't hinder the truth of the part before, where he said, if you make Jesus the Word, that's that man in flesh that he's talking about, he said, you make three gods. So we're talking about we are talking about Jehovah Elohim. And so therefore, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, Jehovah Elohim. Now he says that word was made flesh. Actually, the word became flesh. In the becoming processes of God to manifest himself with the people, to bring the people forth, getting them finally to the New Jerusalem. And that's just where we stop. What he's got planned beyond that, don't even guess about it. Mind your business. We don't even have enough of this word in saturation within us. And remember, saturation point is where you take sugar or salt and you keep adding and you keep adding and you keep adding until one speck of sugar or one speck of salt, the whole thing crystallizes. That's why you can't take one word or add a word. If you add a word after crystallization, you're botching it. If you don't add that word before crystallization, you're botching it. When you and I get to the place fully crystallized, hallelujah, there's going to be a rapture. Yep. Oh, yeah. Not because I say so. That's because God says so. Now, the world is going to be judged. It says world. That's the cosmos, the world system. We are not a part of it. We do not get judged with their judgment. Our judgment is past. Some men send their sins on beforehand. Others wait for their sins to catch up. Ours have not only been sent on ahead, but the word has come back as to the state of our perfection. So therefore the bride is not only pregnant concerning the womb of her mind is closed, so no word can get out and no word can get in, but we're crystallized. And for years you've heard me say, everybody's getting crystallized. Not one that isn't. Catholic Church, Protestant churches, independent churches, Pentecostal churches, those in the Branham message. You're getting crystallized. And when you get to the crystalline shape, what can happen? You're nothing. You say, Brother Dale, what will happen? They'll apply the heat and the crystals melt. I got news for you. You don't get the heat. You're out of here. You don't get any lake of fire. You don't get any tribulation. You get none of those things because you are free. Now, he says here, God's Bible said, God will judge the world by Christ Jesus, and he is the Word. And Hebrews 13:8 said he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I believe that to be the truth. And remember, listen, people, don't leave your laws out of your mind. Don't leave your laws somewhere out here, or you got to suddenly fish for them. No, instantly. What is Hebrews 13:8 according to Brother Banner? Somebody tell me. Thank you. Genesis 18 is right. He said, well, just a minute, that isn't so. Yes, it is so, because let me tell you this, that proves. Yes, there's going to be a lake of fire. That proves to you and me, if we're not crystallized, God is. If we're completely Word, no problem. But we're sitting on some kind of a fence. There's a very great problem. And Brother Branham is speaking in this hour concerning that judgment and quoting Hebrews 13:8. We have to go where he pointed us. Abraham outside of the tent. Sarah inside of the tent. God saying at this time, Sarah's going to have a son by you. And God himself is that great prophet standing there. In other words, before at the time of the burning, it's after the burning now, of course, that the Son comes manifested in flesh upon the earth, though he's already there in a spirit form. He's right there in Abraham. Right there for Sarah to be 100% pregnant. And let me tell you, before the burning, the bride, Sarah, is 100% pregnant by her husband. That's why she goes wandering down there and someone wants to impregnate her, a handsome young man, because she's a pretty young girl again. God had to do the full protection. Because Abraham wasn't able to. That's why the Holy Spirit now, the pillar of fire, after the bride here is fully impregnated, is leading us into the millennium. Oh, everything types in the Bible. Just listen to Brother Branham. He tells them, he said, anybody can open this book, but I'm the one that's going to do it for you. How? By God. Oh, yeah, he's telling them. He tells them things that are, will be. And things that are to be are right here, I'm telling you. Now, you're part of it. Oh, that's something different. Now, let's just take a little peek. Oh, little peek, that's a misstatement of the year. In Romans, the second chapter. Let's just read the verse. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. So Brother Branham was quoting from the book of Romans, the second chapter and the 16th verse. And he's saying that. Now, if you really want to get into this, we're going to have to take our time, which I intend to do. In the first chapter, Paul the Apostle is speaking to a Gentile church. Now, he says in the 15th verse, so as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome. These are Gentiles. And this is the church that organized. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God and the salvation of everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, also the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it's written, the just shall live by faith. Now, he's propounding his own gospel, which he says right in here, in the days when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. He said he's going to judge them. The Bible also declares in the book of Acts, God is going to judge the world by Christ. What is that, Acts 13 or something in there? Well, it doesn't matter. I've used it many times. My point now is what you're looking at is that which is said to the Gentiles. See? Now, verse 18, Paul starts that which we've read many, many times. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold back or hold down the truth in unrighteousness. In other words, they make a substitution. They make an amendment. They make a perversion of the truth. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. Now he goes right back to the basic principle of knowing God by creation. So therefore, whether there's one God, two gods, three gods, or a million gods, you know there's a Godhead. You know positively there is God because of nature, creation. Now it says, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thanked, became vain their imagination, foolish heart was darker, because they had all these sophists, they became fools, changed the glory of the uncorruptible God in an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creatures. What did they do? They got to monotheism, which degenerated into what they have now, which they call the force. So that man is God, everything is God. Hey, this is it. In other words, they're trying to tell us that we are the finality of the finality. We are the infinite of the infinite. We are it. In other words, they literally take credit for creating themselves and every single thing that is done so that whatever is started and continues with nature. Now, what did God do about this? He gave them over to uncleanness through the lusts of their own heart, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. What is the first thing that communism did? Communism instantly dissolved the truth of marriage and anything to do with Almighty God. So now everything was left up to the state. And they implied and implemented their own understanding of morals in a higher level, which say what you want, had to come from the Bible. So they dishonored themselves. Watch how it gets worse. Change the truth of God into a lie. which is the lie. You don't need to worry about dying. Just die like a dog, live like a dog, who cares? But you've got a higher consciousness, you've got a higher mind, your higher form of evolution, so therefore more is required of you. But just remember, it's just the same, you're still a dog underneath. Or some kind of tree out there that cuts down, forget it. So what you do, if you're going to do anything at all, you have any regard for humanity, you have any higher aspiration, then remember, you've got other people just like you, should work together, and every man have equal, every man have this, every man have that. Well, how in the name of heavens can you have every man equal, or not all equal to begin with? As Bernard Shaw, somebody said, all men are born created equal, but some are more equal than others. And that's the truth. There's some people born with weak eyes. They'll never have the eyes to look out yonder. Some people hold a gun and they waver like this. That'd be me. They can't hold the thing through and get an animal. Well, you see what we'll do? We'll bring it all down to the common masses, and what you can't do, somebody else can do. And we'll all be just one lump of clay. Hogwash. The Bible says in his house and in God, there's vessels unto honor and vessels unto dishonor, and there's those vessels that have a higher honor than other vessels have. Now, do you think that one man of Stalin and Khrushchev and these guys would lower themselves to the proletariat? Hogwash. So you got a bunch of bamboozlers running a poor bunch of nuts. You got a poor bunch of nuts in Russia right now want to go back to the same thing because it's a sausage and a loaf of bread, a little jug of beer or vodka, and I have a woman or something or this or that. That'll satisfy me because I know I got it. And that's where your church is right today in this message. Well, I know I got this. I don't know about that. If they ever took a crack at democracy, the place where it really would work, they'd have something. But they're not going to do it because iron and clay is at the very end of the toes till Jesus comes and busts everything up. So forget it. Still watch Russia when she goes down to get the oil. See? Look at all these things in Scripture. There's nothing in here that isn't the present day in our minds. Now, they worship creation, the creature. In other words, now, when you talk about worship, you talk about a door. When you talk about a door or adoration, you've got to come to the place where you get that peculiar word, the agape love. Now, the agape love, though Brother Branham and everybody else will tell you that word is the love that's reserved for God, and they are correct. That word is the same word you can love a piano. You can love your car. You can love your grandmother. In other words, it's where you put your highest love, and there's nothing beyond it. So they put their highest love right in that which is created. So therefore, what are they? They're animists. They're literal heathen. If they have any worship, then they'll have to worship that which is of a higher intellect, and nobody has a higher intellect than man that can be seen, so therefore man becomes his own worshiper. So he'll make his own ways and do everything. And that's what I'm trying to show you now, the religion that people have today. As this can be based upon knowing there is a God, and understanding from that there is a God because you can see it in creation. These people now take creation, get rid of the thought of God entirely, who is blessed forever whether they want or not, get away from him, bringing up their own ideas. Even the Pope, who's supposed to be the spiritual head of the Catholic Church, said, I am not spiritual, I am moral. Oh, God have pity, he's moral. Moral, my foot. How moral was he when those monks in Philadelphia rooked the people of $4 million, and right away they said, well, we'll give it back, we'll give it back. And the Catholic Church said, we'll give it back. He said, shut up and sit down. Give it to me. You should have morals like that. Sounds like a banker. He gets you to borrow more than you can handle, then he takes everything you got. But there was a smart guy in California beat Wells Fargo Bank. He had some decent lawyers, and when he proved to the bank that they had got him inveigled into getting more than he needed, he sued the bank. He got a property bank and all his money. And I said, that's a little picture of God's white throne to me. for he's just it. Anyway, that's just beside the point. See, even in nature, you can pick up everything going on. It's all here in the Word. Just look at it. Now, what does God do to these heathen? He gives them over to vile affections. Even their women change their natural use, that which is against nature, and likewise the men. Now, listen. This is not concerning Israel. I want you to notice that. There might have been a few Sodomites. No doubt there were some things in there, and there were, that Israel was contemplating and doing. But this is Gentile. This is your human race. Paul is taking the gospel to them, and he's telling them just what they are. Now, if you study any history, and I know it's not nice to harp on these things, but pick up those books that are written from ancient time concerning sex and sexual deviation, you can find that these guys were loaded with it. If you think child molestation is something new, and you think those Hindus and those Muslims and those Buddhists, and they talk about their love and their niceness, I got a book at home that you're going to read right now, if I can put my hands on it. And I know enough of studying Christian history to know that they're the biggest bunch of scuzzballs on earth. And they still are. Siam, those places, where they give little tiny girls to men for one purpose, for lust. And literally rip those poor kids to pieces, and it's okay. Rotten, filthy scum, says right here. That's not enough. Then women got to mess with women and men with men. And what did the Bible say? In receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. Now I'm going to tell you something flat. What was the recompense that God paid to the Gentiles? Sodom and Gomorrah burned. Huh? You bet your sweet life. Let's understand it. Recompense of their error, which was meat. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Now, let's go to your homos today. They want to run the church. Well, we love God, bless God. Hey, the Bible contradicts you. The Bible says to you homos that you will go to a lake of fire unless you repent because your act is unnatural and God demands death. Well, we don't agree. Now you got a Sanhedrin telling God what to do. Come on. Look at it. The cup of the Gentiles is going to be filled again. The Roman Catholics and Protestants are Gentiles. Have they retained God in your minds? How can you retain God in your mind? You haven't even seen Him. The only way you can retain God in your mind is something that God said about Himself. God said in His Word, women cannot preach, they cannot handle the Word. Yet even today you're going to have female rabbis. They got them everywhere. There'll still be Roman Catholic priests to a degree because they're opening the door that women can do certain things. But they won't let them handle the elements. You say, Brother Bill, what about the Word? Jacqueline Ford is a female theologian, and she will tell you flat, listen, you Protestants, we've got the Holy Ghost and we speak in tongues. And you Protestants come against it with your understanding Word. Let me tell you this. Don't you try to cross us. I'm a theologian. I'll come right back again. She's from Notre Dame. She used to be, as far as I recall. I might have missed that point there, but anyway, her name's Ford, and she's a Catholic theologian. Now, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things not convenient. So, all right, here's your homosexual generation. Reprobate. Now, everybody wants to say we are all reprobates. Let me tell you flat, I never was a reprobate. I never was a child of disobedience. I was a disobedient child of God. God doesn't save reprobates. Because that means there's nothing in there to be saved. These guys are serpents, see. They're not foolish virgin. They're nothing. Listen, being filled with unrighteousness. What is that? Worshipping God in a perverted word. And demanding, like Cain, everybody fall in line. Or we'll kill you. Isn't that what the Antichrist is going to do? Fornication. Idolatry. Wickedness. Covetousness. Maliciousness. What's this covetousness? The devil said, I want to own them all. Pope says, I'm going to own them all. Baptist says, I want a million more. Malicious. Full of malice. Full of envy. Murders. Debaters. Deceit. Malignant whispers. Isn't that this present generation of homos? And those that consort with them? Why do they consort with those filthy people? Because they think they're going to get something from them. Check the record. How many men today, even men of repute, have tried to practice homosexuality? Go to the top of the list. Winston Churchill, number one. Forbes, a billionaire in America, the closet homo. What Elizabeth Taylor thinks of that now. Your Hollywood crud. Have you guys been reading that guy read? Maybe God doesn't give me just the right articles to pick up. I don't have to read volumes. He just puts them in my hand. Till. They expect to get something from them. Prestige, money, sexual gratification. Animals, beasts. That's why the Bible calls it that Antichrist, the end time, the beast. Listen what they're like. Backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. Oh, brother. I won't stop and talk about that. Disobedient to parents, without understanding. Covenant breakers. They're traitors. You can't trust them. Man says, hey, let's shake hands. Sure, I'll shake hands. Yeah, but I got a gun waiting, too. I want something to write. I want something ironclad. Why? I just read it to you. Take heed what God's word says. You won't get trapped. That's what's wrong with the church. They wouldn't take heed. Now, with all these people, implacable. They haven't got a conscience. They can't be placated. Give them your shirt. They want your coat. Give them your coat. They want your overcoat. Give them your overcoat. Well, better take your house and your land next. You can't fill them up. Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they that commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them. Well, you say, well, I don't think they really know. Yes, they do, because they argue the point. That as soon as you bring up the fact of homosexuality, they argue the point. And they're right to God being a good God, a sweet God. And like this, what is this guy? Was his name Spong? They call him Spong the Wrong. This English canon. He was a dud. Why, he said, I think he's the guy that said, I praise God for my gift of homosexuality because it makes me a better man to serve the Lord. Good God have pity. I'm telling you the truth. Didn't you read that in your papers? Come on, you read it. Now, let's go a little further. Flip her over. One paragraph today. It's okay. Let's go further, because the second chapter belongs with the first. And he's telling these people what happened in the time of Noah. What happened in the time of Lot. And they're a part of it. Now there's Jews over here in Rome. Junius and Junas, I think, were the ones who started the church, and they got kicked out. That's why the church went to pieces. Now, He's hit the Gentiles. Watch him hit the Jews. Therefore, thou art an excusable man, whosoever thou art judgest. For when thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same thing. Now, what has that got to do with this up here? Say, well, bless God, nobody should judge the homosexual, nobody judge anything going on, because after all, just a minute. The Word of God, the gospel, has already come. And the Word of God that Paul is telling him here, look what happened when they turned down the truth, and the truth is here today. Now watch, don't you turn down the truth. Now who is he talking about? He's talking about people who are judging. What are they judging? They are not simply judging men. They are judging according to some standard or some word, or you cannot judge. Here's a judge going to judge a bunch of calves at the fair. And a little moody calf comes in here, and the judge says, so-and-so, pass him on. Here's another calf, so-and-so, pass him on. And you get these passing on. Now, it's always said, now, number three calf, you get first prize. And number one calf, you get second prize. And number ten calf, you get the third prize. How in the world? He's just looking at these calves. But he's looking at something about the calves. And that something about the calves must be some written directive that guy goes by. So who are you, man, that judges by some directive that you've got? So that directive leaves you free, and the other fellow's not so lucky. Now what does he say here? Therefore thou art inexcusable, man, whosoever thou that judgest. Somebody that has his own understanding. Somebody that has his own idea. That person has not come to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, wherein he now knows and can discern, and therefore is a judge, himself not judging, but the Word judging. Not just somebody saying something. Now watch, for in that thou that judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. See, there's what you're looking at. How can anybody ever form any class judgment based upon what people themselves are doing, and judge another group over here by what these are doing, and the second group is not doing? Now what he's saying right here, every single person is fallible. Judge somebody. Go ahead. You're going to find you're just as rotten inside as the guy you're talking about, and he's just as rotten and he starts talking about you. Now watch, why am I saying it? Because Paul said, but we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them that commit such things. So therefore, you can exonerate yourself. You can exonerate your fellow man. These guys over here can condemn you, and you can condemn them. But where do you all stand? The judgments of God. And what are they? The only truth there is. That's why Herod says, what is truth anyway? But he didn't stop to get the answer. Who is this William Branham? Well, never mind, I've got to go and get my lunch. What is this talk about the appearing? Not being the rapture. Oh, you don't say, oh, I said, remember, I got a phone call. I could stick around. No. Now watch. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? In other words, this guy is judging, and 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 this guy is rotten, and this guy is rotten, or this got a perverted righteousness, and this got a perverted righteousness. Just because you say so, is that going to be right? Huh? Methodist said, boy, well, we've got millions of people, hey, and they're getting converted, and you should see the changed life. I can see a changed life by a man. He's cussing and drinking and smoking, womanizing and everything else, and he goes to doctors, and he's having a bad time. The doctor says, my heaven, my man, let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you something. You leave those women alone, and you quit your drinking, and you quit your smoking, and you quit your getting angry, or you're a dead man within 48 hours. No, don't tell me, doc. Oh, yes, it's true. Oh, man, what can I do? Just stop doing it, and I'll give you some medication. He's converted right now. He's born again right now. He hasn't got any more. I know God. Listen, this is God's truth. This man told me. And he never came to the message as we understand it. But he loved my preaching, and he was with me in Florida. He was a deputy sheriff. And he said, Lee, I'm going to tell you something. The best life I ever lived, even a better life now that I'm a Christian, is when I was, 32nd degree Mason, what do they call it, the boobah? He said, their laws are so strict. He said, I lived a godly life. So George didn't need Jesus after all. He lived a better life back there. Go on back to the Masons. See what I'm trying to tell you? What you're looking at here? Or did, now listen, you by doing this, despisest thou the riches of his goodness, and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing the goodness of God, leadeth thee to repentance? He said, you're doing all these. Everybody's doing the same thing. There's nobody any different. So why are you judging anybody? And thinking you've got something when you don't have it. And you are despising the way that God made for you, which was by his word, him fulfilling his word, for his own integrity and mediation, and now allowing you to have everything he said by grace. Now watch, but after the hardness, now watch, after thy hardness, impenitent heart, treasures up to thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Now hold it. We just read that over here. So what's the next step? Homosexuals with every filthy thing under God's heaven. The gospel of Jesus Christ turns to that. It says right here. You say, by the veil, they didn't turn it down. Thanks God. And thank God the homos weren't there. And you say, but the thing is this, Luther never turned it down. That's right, the homos weren't there. Huh? Oh, yeah, and the Pentecostals never turned it down. Or rather, Wesleyans never turned it down. The homos weren't there. But who turned it down? The Pentecostals turned it down. And that's the age Brother Branham came. And you and he said before he died, and that's 28 solid years ago, isn't it? He said California is turning homosexual rate of 30% per year. How Brother Dale, you see, Brother Branham wasn't a specific statistician. He was an actuarist, and he wasn't that. You're right, he wasn't. He was a prophet. 30% per year. I don't doubt that for 1 minute. 30% per year more AIDS. I don't doubt that for 1 minute if that's the way it goes. Now, they're treasuring. They're building it up. They're building it up. And Brother Branham prophesied when he was choosing of a bride. He said, you built it up. And I was there in that last minute meeting when he warned the women and he warned the men. Big joke. Titter, titter. You think us women are not going to cut our hair and bring our skirts up to our crotch and wear slacks and everything else? You think our men like it? We like it. Oh, prophet. You're a prophet. You're a prophet. Listen, I'm a guy that jokes in kids. I could have crawled under the table that night. There were tables around. It was a banquet. I was embarrassed for him. Not anymore. Who will render every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory, honor, immortality, and eternal life. Get to the tree of eternal life and get it. See, because immortality, he links the two together. What about immortality without eternal life? Just in other words, God just lets you live, live, live like a plant could live, live, live. Forget it. Eternal life demands immortality, but under the right conditions. And unto them that are contentious. Hey, we can't take that. We got this. And do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness. See, they're obedient to something which is their own crippled understanding. Indignation and wrath. Tribulation. Great tribulation coming up. Anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil. Of the Jew first and also the Gentiles. Now they're both in there. Gentiles. Jews. Jews and Gentiles. For there is no respect of God with God. For as many have sinned without the law shall perish without the law. What is he telling you? They all knew at one time and they still know there is a God. Why do they do the things contrary to nature? Can you find homosexuals amongst animals? You say, well, I think I might find one or two. Well, tell me about it. I'm interested in knowing about anything. Not for a carnal mind, but I'm just interested. I want to know what people, if people got the truth or don't they have the truth. I want to know facts. And as many have sinned in the law should be judged by the law. What's he telling them? The Gentiles never had the law. They had a law by nature in them. They're judged. And the Jews that had the living word of God and turned it down, they're judged. Why? Because Paul said, I've got the gospel here. And remember in the first age, when the gospel he preached had another Jesus, another spirit, another gospel. Oh, God. 2,000 years ago. What's it like today? You and I, when I was 30-some years of age, 30, I went on a fast. Now, a fast is a mirror. It can tell you right away what's wrong with your body. You didn't know that? Take a water fast for a few days, maybe up to a week, and pretty soon, every place in your body that has a weakness, you're going to feel it. So you know what? Right away, the arthritis appeared. When I went back eating, no more arthritis. It was there. I got arthritis today. My back's very bad, degenerated. I'm trying to build it up. As long as it doesn't hurt and I'm not crippled, I'm still preaching. You're a tough luck. So, that's the way it is. See, it's there. People don't want to believe that. See, now, for not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law to be justified. Now, he's going into law and grace here. For when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these not having the law are a law to themselves. See? Which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts are meanwhile accusing or excusing one another. That's right in the Branham message today. Accuse and excuse. Now, watch. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel, and he is that word. Now watch. Behold, thou that callest yourself a Jew, and you rest in that law, and you make your boast of your God, and you know his will, and you approve the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law. In other words, you give lip service, you know it's there, and you say, that's right. And, now listen. And art confident that thou thyself art a guide to the blind, a light to them which are in darkness. And they still tell you that. Huh? An instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which has the form of knowledge and of truth in the law. Now bring that right today in this hour for the Gentiles. Because the Jews are still that way. Who are the babies that can't be taught doctrine? Cannot be taught truth? Pentecostals. Gentiles. Thou therefore that teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? What is he saying? Oh, to the Jews and to the Gentiles. Bless God, these are written by prophets. Prophets absolutely had the unerring word of God. God backed up those men. Go and see how he did through the ages. See it how it is now. Look at those prophets. And a prophet come on the scene 100% earmarked. Ha! No prophet. Why? He doesn't agree with us. A prophet never did agree with anybody. He never even agreed with himself. And he didn't even agree with God. The Bible tells you. And Brother Branham tells you right here, he's a reflector. Huh. What's a mirror got to do with the light? Oh, gosh. He said, Brother Bill, I didn't think people could be so stupid. Stick around and listen. This was written 2,000 years ago. Sure pigeonholes you and me, doesn't it? Huh? Oh, yeah. Let's not be stupid. Now, Now watch how these guys, the minute these Jews began leaving the word, and where they got, and where they are. Thou therefore that teachest another, teachest thou not thyself. Thou that preachest, a man should not steal, do you steal? In other words, what reality really got you? I admit that's in the word, but you know, it's all right to steal. Under certain conditions. If you're hungry. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says you go to field if you're hungry. You've got a right to go in that field, and they can take a little bit of that, what that farmer has, and the farmer should know it. But everybody can't go and just steal from a farmer, because that's stealing. If you're really starving, on your last legs, and there's some corn there, you're entitled to reach and get a cob, eat the cob of corn. You're entitled to the nuts that fall on the ground, a few things. God made it all there for all men. But he didn't say that a man that doesn't work can eat. That's the thing right there that's in our government. That's why our taxes, 70-some percent, I think that they said, will soon be going to taking care of welfare, what they call the entitlements. And I'm not just talking about entitlements. Some of those entitlements are valid because money was put into them. But I'm talking about those after first generation, second, third, and fourth generation living like a bunch of bums and having a great time. And you're going to find those are the ones that have the illegitimate children and spreading syphilis, which is now completely out of bounds, gonorrhea. While they're all talking about AIDS, they don't know that all the other venereities are skyrocketing. So you see, the way to cover up sin in government is to let all these politicians, every single senator, be filthy, rotten, grabby scum, bilk every one of us as taxpayers, nothing happens, and to get everybody off the hook, impeach Nixon. Yeah. So they took a little deal at Mr. Clinton. They said, well, what did the general say of the army? He's nothing but a pot-smoking, womanizing, trading, a deserter. He lost his post for it. But you see, the trick, get the top man every single time. Want to kick him out. You know, Goldwater said, let me tell you flat, old Goldwater said, if we are going to get rid of the president for drinking and womanizing, we better do it to everybody, and there won't be one person left in Washington. Now it says right here, hey, look, let's get down to nitty-gritty. This is what the world's like at the end time. This is where the whole thing took place. They're committing adultery. Well, it's okay. What is the Catholic Church actually doing about those men that are pedophiles? Well, they're putting him in a place and pat him on the head and say, I know you really didn't mean to do it, so we're just going to give you a little psychology test here and a little psychiatric care, and you're going to be fine. What did the prisoners that raped little girls? They said, well, he seems to be okay now. We got him to a psychiatrist, let him loose, and he killed some more, right? That's why they say three strikes and out, and then some guys say two and out. And I say, listen, let a man rape a woman, kill him. That's what God said. So, Brother Dale, that's the Old Testament. Then God's changed. Fine. Tell me about the new one. No, you ain't going to lie to me. No. Thou sayest a man should not commit adultery. Thou commit adultery. Thou the whorest idols. Worship idols, commit sacrilege. You that make your boast the law, through breaking the law dishonorest thou God. Oh, I believe the word of God. Yep. You do? Why are you breaking it? Now, thus he said about the Jews, for the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as is written. For circumcision is profit nothing, rather, circumcision barely profiteth if you keep the law. Like baptism in water profits if you go all the way and get the Holy Ghost. But if you be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision be uncircumcision. Why? Because circumcision is that evidence that sets you apart, that you are clean with God and for God. And to walk in that light. How can a man be full of the Holy Ghost and do the things he's doing? Big Paul Jones, the big man, went around wrecking churches, teaching polygamy. Now you got this idiot Gallimore down there. boasting that he might just have another wife or two. You ought to put them away a long way. Preachers with guts down there should go and stand before a church. Are you going to go in there and preach? Heckle the bird until he calls the cops. Don't just let it go. See, if the women are that big jackasses, what can you expect them? They know better. Women's a church. I'm not talking about women now as women. I'm talking about churches. No, they'll listen to all these guys. Yep. Now let me tell you something. If he is here as I preach the presence as Brother Branham preached it, how softly should we walk? How serious and how sober should we be? Did he come to give us license to anything you want because he's here? Did he come and say we're justified, pure? Didn't do it in the first place to say now you can do anything you want? Did he take away that strong feeling of guilt just to say, well, hey, that's great, let's do anything we can? Huh? There's been a burning by fire to cleanse us and help us. Just like a stove burns our hand, do we want to go back and touch the stove again? No. Cling to the tree of life. Therefore, if circumcision keep the... Now listen, now watch what he says here. For circumcision barely profits if you keep the law. But if you break the law, what bother getting circumcised for? It doesn't do any good. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his circumcision become the righteousness? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter of and circumcision do transgress the law? What about the Branham people make a great big talk? And you got preachers running around, polygamous. Oh, they won't go and get married lawfully because they know they can't do it. So they just stay in a church and they send somebody to petition to gratify their lusts. Well, David did it. David paid till the day he died. My sin is always before me. And his son, one of his sons took his wives out there. Sexually assaulted them before the world. Oh, you can sow, but you can't reap. Listen, if you believe that today, you're liars. The truth isn't in you. Our trouble is we don't believe for one ounce what we should believe. We sow and we reap, and you can't change it. Say, oh, God, forgive me. He'll forgive you. Oh, yeah, but you can pay it till the day you die. He'll rip the hide off you. Teach your kids that. Because you as parents will pay. If you don't teach them to sow. You just can't say, don't do this and don't do that and watch me here and there. You've got to really teach them and help them to sow. These are difficult, difficult days. Shall not the son circumcision, which is by nature, fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision doth transgress the law? For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither that which that is circumcised, but which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And the circumcision is of the heart, in the spirit, not of the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Man out of the picture. So there you see the Gentile. What happened? Now you see the Jew, and now you see the end time, Jew and Gentile. The judgment of God. Now how has he judged the world? At the end time, by one Christ Jesus. The fact of the matter is we have seen it absolutely. You cannot disprove it, although people will not believe it. It is the fourth chapter of Hebrews, the 12th verse, for the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder soul and spirit, and of joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any part of creation, no creature, that is not manifest in the sight in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And Paul was speaking by vindication. Vindication of Paul has been recognized by every authentic Bible student. Otherwise, what are we doing with a bunch of stuff that somebody wrote? There's a man, he's dead. He was a oneness preacher. Brother Branham went to his church in Texas and had meetings. Before he died, he said, William Branham's visions are no different from Swedenborg's. Who knows about Swedenborg? Anybody? You don't? Christadelphianism? You should see the goofy visions he had. I mean goofy. So contrary to the word of God is pitiful. If you like visions and everything and think, well, even a great man can have visions, they got to be true. Read Bunyan's visions. Oh, there's a great man. Read about it. See if they stack up to Brother Branham's. Check the books on Sadhu Sundar Singh. Check what Joe Smith wrote, supposedly by a vision. Oh, gosh, if it was. That wasn't an angel of God. That was an angel of hell. Impersonated. Go and check it out. Find which one had thus saith the Lord. The Sadhu Sundar Singh could sit out in India and there meditating as he sat upon a stone late at night, the moon falling down, and a man looking out the window, a friend of his, and great big black tiger, I guess a panther, what it was. I can't remember which it was now. Came beside him. Stopped there, looked up and licked him. Tickled his ears. Rolled on his back, tickled his tummy. Gave him a swat in the rump. Went back to the jungle. Oh, hey, man. Oh, hey, man. Gotta listen to that guy. Gotta listen to that guy, do you? Nice Pentecostal bait. If you listen to that guy, just say, sad, let me ask you a question. What steps did you take to get into meditation? To get away from the world and the cares and those things that speak to hearts and minds. Where you could lock yourself up with God, even the way Evan Roberts could do it. Evan Roberts sat in a train one day. You know the great Welsh revivalist that stirred England and Great Britain. And a man recognized and hated him. Roberts was with a friend. The man began to curse him and say all manner of evil things. Within one moment, Roberts was calm and never said a thing. The man blasted him all the way to the station where he got off. And the friend said, Roberts, I don't understand. How could you take that man cursing you? Well, he said, after the first minute I didn't hear him, I just closed myself off with God. No, I can do that. I can be taught that. But you can't be taught that. Amen. You may be Sadhu Sundar Singh or Roberts. You can be Luther. You can be Wesley. You can be St. Francis. You can be Joseph. Yeah. You can be Benjamin. You can be Samuel. But you can't be that. Only one of three men. Moses, Paul, and William Branham. And never anymore. So what about Moses and Elijah? I don't have a clue to that. I don't have a clue to that. Pillar of fire? Might take two of them. Who knows? I don't know two of them. Just leave me out of the picture. Stick with what's here. Not what's down the road. Yeah. That's the truth. Same yesterday and forever. And God is going to judge the world by one Christ Jesus. That's exactly. How's the judgment going to be? There's got to be a standard. There's got to be something. And that something was the Apostle Paul. And he said, listen, you Gentiles. Listen, you Jews. Every single one of you had a chance. You Gentiles had that former chance. It wasn't as great as the opportunity God gave Abraham and the Jews. But listen, you muffed it. And look where you went. And you Jews, look where you went. And now you Gentiles, look where you're going. You see this here? That's at least another 100 scripture, not 150. I'm not going to read them. That's just talking about this first paragraph. That he's talking to those people out there. And it didn't get to them and over their heads. They haven't got a clue. Are they going to have a clue when he begins preaching doctrine? Are they going to have a clue when he talks about being a part of God? Is he going to have a clue when he said, you were ordained to be sitting in this seat and I'm up here preaching this very hour? Like you said in the tabernacle back in Jeffersonville. Are they going to have a clue? Or they're going to say, oh, listen, Brother Branham, everything happens by chance. He said, hold it. Everything happens by chance within the season. Oh, yeah. Sure, everything happens by chance. In the particular sense, you didn't have a thing to do with it. That you didn't have an actual choice. Then if you did something and didn't have an actual choice, then it's chance. So the guy took a chance and he poured in two fruits. Bang! The whole thing went up in him with it. That's chance. It's also choice. I hope you follow me. It's not difficult. Just stick around long enough and you'll hear the truth. I was looking for scripture here. But I don't always find scripture I'm looking for. But anyway, it's in here. Brother Branham talked about the judgment, and he said, who is going to be responsible? And his answer is, it is not a church. It is not a group of men. It has got to be God himself by his word. And the next question is, what in the world is God's word? And he said, that which is authentically vindicated, thoroughly explained, now become a complete revelation to you, and the life and light that's in the word now is in your heart. And now you being vessels written and living epistles read and known of all men, you have the answer. It doesn't say you are the answer. It says you have the answer. You know the truth, and the truth has set you free. It doesn't say you're perfect as to your walk. It says you're perfect as to your righteousness and what God has given you. But then there are those who do not want mastery of a walk. And Paul said to them, now listen, if you live in it, if you live in the Spirit, be careful that you walk in it. See? We have not got a law made up that tells us, oh, it's okay if we lie. I've heard them lie. Well, it's okay if we take it. We just call it taking. It's not stealing. Well, I've seen that too. I've seen them out there in their gross immorality. Well, that, well, you know, God forgives. Doesn't matter how many times they marry. You know, really. And the fact of the matter is, let's get right down to it. If you are an elect child of God, those things do not matter. But it matters to God. Because if you're a true child of God, you will be whipped until the day you die, if it's severe enough to be whipped that long for. You will pay a price. You may even be taken out of this world, as Brother Branham told that person was. But remember this, there is a judging word in the land today. And there is only one escape. And that is for the people to be that word, to believe that word, to try to consummate that those words that God gave in their lives. And they are the ones that are going to be free. Because right at this moment, God is judging, and I can prove it. Because it says distinctly in the book of Malachi, and Brother Branham brought it out. It says, in that day, the earth will burn as an oven, leaving neither root nor branch, and that's right thrown. You wait 1,000 years, you're there now. How many believe time and eternity have blended? Well, I want to ask you a question. If time and eternity have blended, and time as we know it in the human race, now not the earth, 500 billion years, I'm talking now about the 6,000 years. How many times will 6,000 go into eternity? Eternal number of times. So how can you measure even 100 years? You're not even a gleam, a wink of the eye. So Brother Branham's talking to these people out there, the mixed crowd, and that part of our country's condemned, it will grow her. Full of homosexuals, destruction is right there. Pentecostal babies, a bunch of deity cult, and a few of us who really believe in to be that prophet, wanting to know the truth, anxious to hear everything. And he said, I want to tell you people something right now. Anybody can open the book, and you've been doing it. Do you know what it really says? I hope you do. Because one day you're going to be judged by it. Do you know if you were in trouble today, you hired a lawyer? You know what that lawyer is supposed to get? He's supposed to get information from the other lawyer so he can plead your case. I'm glad our lawyer gave all the information we need. Our adversary cannot touch us. He's defeated on every turn. And we will come forth as we have already been told we've come forth, vindicated, avenged as the perfect, righteous bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. We didn't even do it. Somebody else did. Let them have their problems. Let them take their grief, their sorrows, and their pains, brother, sister, because they have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And it's in His name at the end time the Gentiles trust. What about His name? That's the Word of God revealed. Only we could go on for hours. Why go on for hours? You know what the lesson's about this morning, so let's rise and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we thank You again for Your help that we have been able to study Your Word, one paragraph. But it's what we know is for us as we look at the people and the setting and everything that was said out there in Rialto. And we just praise You, Lord, that we can take this much time to look right into Your Word and know we have come to the end of the ages. And this is the condition brought out absolutely perfectly, and it would take not only a blind man, but a dead man, not to see it and receive it. And we know, Lord, that is true, because those that are dead in sin, they cannot see, neither can they hear, neither can they voice the truth. Now, we do not stand in arrogance today, Lord, as though some special thing we have brought forth or merited within our flesh. But we know, Lord, the only reason that we can hear anything is because the sheep hear the voice and they follow. And that, Lord, gives us great help, gives us great joy and rejoicing to know that we have heard and we do follow. And we're so grateful, Lord, that judgment is over. Hallelujah. The long, long night is past. The morning breaks at last, and o'er the distant hill, we've seen the light appear. And what is it? It's the same Holy Spirit that indwelt the flesh in the east is back here in the west, indwelling a prophet and giving us that same light. And not condemning, but taking us right over, hurling for judgment unto victory. Hallelujah, Lord. We're grateful that we have sat in the court and heard the verdict. You're free. You're guiltless. You're sinless. You never did it. Unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power, honor, and glory through Jesus Christ. Amen.